Welcome to the Self-Esteem and Confidence Mindset with me, Johnny Pardo.
Welcome back to the Self-Esteem and Confidence Mindset podcast with me, Johnny Pardo. Today, I welcome Giovanni onto the show where we're going to be talking about many subjects. We're going to be talking about self-confidence. We're going to be talking about overcoming distractions. We're going to be talking about the higher mind and much, much more. So a quick introduction to Giovanni. So Giovanni is a self-discipline coach, meditation teacher, and author who focuses on intersection between wisdom, peace, and power. Giovanni has helped executives, entrepreneurs, artists, and professional athletes to live a more focused and purposeful life. Since 2014, he has been helping people to overcome distractions, procrastination, fear, anxiety, and self-doubt by cultivating what he calls the higher mind. So welcome to the show, Giovanni. Glad to have you on here. So yeah, tell us a little bit, I suppose my first question really I'm fascinated by is, what is this higher mind?
Okay, so there are two aspects of our mind. There is what I call the lower mind and the higher mind. And many philosophers, spiritual masters, and thinkers throughout the ages, they have talked about the different aspects of the mind. They didn't use the higher mind and the lower mind. That's what I call them. But you know, in neuroscience, we know that there is the prefrontal cortex, which is the human brain, the latest development in our brain. And then there is the reptilian brain, which is more animal in nature, is more impulsive. And for us to live our potential, for us to achieve our goals and live our aspirations, we need to operate more from the higher mind. So the higher mind is where our long-term goals live. It's our capacity to be aware of what's happening, to control our impulses, to take action that is aligned with our goals and values, rather than to just follow the loudest voice in the moment. When we are operating from the higher mind, we are being more purposeful in our life. We're being more intentional. When we are operating from the lower mind, you know, the lower mind is where our emotions live, where desire and fear, our impulses, and also more reactive thinking based on our conditioning, based on our past. When we're living from the lower mind, then we struggle with procrastination, with distractions, with taking action on our goals, with temptations and bad habits. Now, if we learn how to operate more from the higher mind, then things are feel more under control. You are practicing what I call self-mastery. Mm-hmm. Living from the higher mind is practicing self-mastery.
Oh, brilliant. Yeah. Okay. That's really helpful for me. And some of those concepts you're talking about, I kind of experienced on my journey. And I know there's been times when I've been overcome by perhaps my emotions, which aren't bad, you know, necessarily bad things. But yeah, when they've kind of been controlling me, maybe being in more of that lower mind place, certainly, but also experienced that higher mind when it's, you know, just thinking kind of in line with where I want to go a little bit more. So I love what you said there. So yeah, with like self-mastery, like obviously that's for me, I feel like it's an ongoing journey. There's never an end point through life. Is that something you've been into from like a young age? Was there a point in your life where you really got into this? Yeah, just be really interested to hear your story a little bit.
Right. I started being interested in meditation when I was 14. I was started reading self-help books, then Aristotle, Plato, the Stoics, then on to kind of more the occult tradition of the West, then Buddhism, yoga. I've read about many different traditions. I drank from many different sources. Mm. And that was me growing up and then trying different styles of meditation, going to retreats, meeting different masters, and diving deep into the world of personal development, reading many books. It came to a point where I realized that at the core of everything is this concept of self-mastery or self-discipline, of you working on yourself, of you being in control of yourself and your life. And there's a very old metaphor for this, which is if you imagine a chariot And there's the charioteer, and there are the horses. The horses represent the lower mind. They are our emotions, our impulses, desire, and fear. They are reactive thinking. And then there is the higher mind, the charioteer. The charioteer has wisdom, has awareness, has willpower, and it has the capacity to control the horses by pulling the reins. Now, those reins are self-discipline. It is the higher mind, the higher aspect of us, the more elevated aspect of us, being in control of the lower aspect of us. And it doesn't mean that we are whipping those horses or that we are treating ourselves bad and beating ourselves up. You know, that is the approach of what I call the military self-discipline. It's the Jocko Willink and what's the name of that other guy?
David Goggins.
Right. My approach is more, you know, coming from a point of view of meditation, mindfulness, and wisdom. You got to treat your horses well, right? You got to feed them. You got to let them play and let them rest. Otherwise, one day they're not going to obey you anymore. One day they're going to rebel against you. So it's about having that holistic development that, yes, you're treating your horses well. You're giving them what they want, but you're keeping them in control so that you can reach your destination. The horses don't know where they want to go. They're just going to go to the greenest field. But the charioteer, who should be in control of the journey, he has a goal. He has an aspiration. And if he has the reins in his hand, then the whole thing works, you know, and you get to where you want to go.
Ah, got you. Okay. Now, I like that. I like different types of discipline as well, because I know from like when my sort of introduction to personal growth, it's all about have the right attitude, keep going and all that kind of thing. And like I've read David Goggins' book and I know that's one approach, and you know what I always like open to hearing different people's views, but yeah, that's I like that kind of differentiation of discipline. So yeah, like tell us a little bit about, you touched on meditation. I know you said you'd done it from a young age in your teens, but yeah, like meditation, like how can someone sort of get started on that? Because lots of people say to me, oh, I want to meditate, but it's too hard. Yeah, I just always like to hear people's views on meditation and what they, yeah.
It's usually because of the wrong expectations around the practice. Most people think that for you to meditate, you need to have a calm mind. And it's like thinking that for you to go to the gym, you need to be fit. No, you get fit by going to the gym. That's not a requirement. It's the result of the process. It's the same thing with meditation. Meditation is to your mind, just like exercise is to your body. You know, you don't need to be the best in the world at that, but you need to take care of your body and you need to take care of your mind. So there are many different styles of meditation. If you have tried one or two that doesn't work for you, you can try something else. You know, eventually, if you have the right mindset and you keep at it, you will find a style that works for your goals, for your personality.
Yeah, experimenting. Ah, nice. Yeah, I like it. And yeah, for me, it's always been an ongoing thing. And, you know, I've tried like different things and I'm always open to experimenting with different things. And I know people I've spoken to like different types of meditations. That's really cool, kind of like testing those different ones. So yeah, like we've obviously in this world, we've got a lot of distractions. Well, I feel like we've got a lot of distractions and people regularly say I've been distracted to me and these kind of things. So what's kind of like would you say meditation's key to that? Or is there anything else that's helped you maybe or the people you've worked with in dealing with some of these distractions?
Meditation definitely helps. But if you are training your mind to focus 20 minutes a day and spending the rest of your day training your mind to be distracted, it's going to be difficult. So there are a couple of other things that are also helpful in this process of beating distraction. One of them is to remove distraction from your environment as much as possible, physical and digital environment. So in the digital environment, this might mean, you know, deleting the social media apps, turning off your notifications other than the really crucial ones, installing some website blockers, creating some clear rules for times every day that you are offline, that you're not with your devices, basically removing triggers for distraction. At least the devices are not calling you in. Maybe you want distraction and you go for the devices, but at least the devices are not calling you in. And then removing distraction from your physical environment also. And this might mean you know, organizing your home and your office so that there are fewer objects and fewer triggers for distraction. So this is the external layer of removing those triggers. And then there is the internal layer, right? That we get distracted because we are not really connected to a sense of purpose. When we are really connected to a sense of purpose, that is more important than the quick dopamine you will get through your distraction. And when you have that clarity, that's what I call the aspiration pillar in my books. When you have that clarity, when you have that inner connection, then you know that this may feel difficult now, but in the end is the only thing that is going to matter. You pursuing your aspirations and long-term goals, that is going to matter. Everything else that you're saying no to, that you are afraid you're missing out, that's just FOMO. You're going to be okay. That is not going to matter. When that awareness little by little becomes clear for you, then it's much easier to say no to distractions. Because you realize that, you know, distractions, the problem with distractions is not only the time they take, right? You may say like, okay, it's an hour a day. It's not only that 7 hours a week, you are not working on your aspirations, you are working on distractions. It's also that during those times, you are training your brain to go after instant gratification. You are training your brain that, you know, we all have the need to experience a sense of reward, to experience a feel-good chemical. And you are teaching your brain that there are many ways that you can get that chemical immediately without any effort or almost any effort. And then you may say like, okay, now it's time for distractions finished. Now let me work on my long-term goals. But then your brain doesn't feel like doing that because long-term goals are difficult. You have to put in effort for a sustained period of time, and then maybe you will get the result. So, you know, that math doesn't work for our brainstem. And then people say like, oh, I can't focus on my long-term goals, or I don't have clear goals. Well, because you don't create space. You are training yourself to go for instant gratification. It's like if every day you're eating fast food, you don't enjoy the vegetables anymore. And yeah, distraction is the fast food of the mind.
Yeah, love it. Yeah, the living the world of instant gratification, right? But I really like what you touched on with like purpose and, you know, being able to connect with that a little bit. And I know that it's a thing that I've heard a few people talk about, purpose. Like if we're in this world of like being distracted by things constantly, maybe we're in a job or career or even a business that we're not fully engaged with, we know we're not connected with. Like the people, I mean, it might be something you've worked with people on, but how can we start to begin to start feeling more purposeful or discovering what it might be a little bit more for us?
You need to create time and space to look within. You know, busyness is the first main obstacle for finding purpose. When you're busy with small things, you don't give yourself that headspace, that stretch of time that allows you to be in a place of boredom. And then that kind of pushes you to go within and to search for meaning, to search for direction, to begin to see what really matters. It's like you keep on spinning the, imagine a cup with some dirt, and you keep on doing this and it never settles. So then you can never really see what's in there. So the first step, which I think is quite universal, is to make space and make time for you to be connected with yourself and to think about what matters. And what this could look like is, you know, maybe it's half an hour every day that is dedicated to meditation and self-reflection. That's already a really good start. Maybe it's a weekend per month, or maybe like, you know, a 5-day retreat. Whether you go to a meditation retreat doesn't matter, but maybe you go and rent a cabin in the woods and then just stay there with yourself, some good books and a journal, and really look within and see if you can find what is most important for you in your life.
Wow, love that. It's really interesting. I remember throwing a lot of like reminders in my head. I remember it's something in the book, The Way of the Superior Man. If you David Data. And then he's He's talking about like you must sit in like solitude. He was talking about sitting in solitude, and that was one of the that's kind of in line with what you were saying. And it's kind of just rang a bell because yeah, with like all this information overload, it can get quite confusing. And it's I guess does that come back to the higher mind as well, that maybe we're not able to be in that place because we're so distracted? Or have I got that wrong?
Exactly. The horses are kind of so busy and chaotic that, you know, you've lost control of them, and they're just going after what's easy and what's pleasant, and they're not moving forward to the destination.
That's kind of how I was thinking of it when you talked about the higher mind linked back to that. And that's it's a really great one to sit within. And I've been guilty myself of being like, oh yeah, I don't have time to sit with myself, I'm too busy today. But it's actually when I've done it, it's like probably saves me time because I get ideas coming out of out of nowhere to save the time. I love that. So you've worked with Giovanna, you've worked with quite a few people, like entrepreneurs I mentioned, and like executives. Now, one thing that I've seen hold me back in my life, but also lots of people, even when I've coached people, is kind of like this like giving in to fear. And it's like, oh, I've got this fear, and it's like, oh, I'm just like held back and I can't move forward, whether it's like talking to the person they like, or whether it's starting that business, or whether it's moving out of a situation that no longer serves them. Is there, like, from your experience, is there anything that you've seen different in people being able to handle fear who have really, really progressed?
Mm-hmm. And so just coming back to the metaphor of the higher mind. So what's happening in that moment is that, you know, the horses don't want to move forward. Right. The charioteer is saying, like, this is the way, but the horses don't want to move forward. Right. So the lower mind has that challenge, and it's not listening to the higher mind. There are many different techniques that I talk about in my book about overcoming fear. One of them would be to break down that challenge ahead of you into baby steps, and then to expose yourself to the thing you are afraid of little by little, consciously and gradually. And this is known as exposure therapy. There's a step-by-step process in the book. So that is one method. The other way is to, through self-awareness in a way, that you know what are your strengths, right? When you are connected to your core strengths, and everyone has it, everyone listening to this, you have it, you have core strengths. And when you are connected to your core strengths, when you know what they are and you feel you can lean on them, you will feel resourceful, you will feel powerful, you will feel confident. From that point of view, what seemed scary, unsurmountable before, now seems like something you can tackle.
I love that. Yeah, breaking it down just into manageable steps, because that kind of like huge jump, right, is sometimes a little bit overwhelming. And I like when you came back to the horse like analogy as well, that example. It's a really good one, because they're like, don't move forward. And they do. I just wanted to touch on, obviously, this podcast is about self-esteem, confidence, and mindset. And we've covered plenty of things on that. And you've shared some great stuff today. Just coming back to like meditation again, how do you think that the role of meditation can help, or may, if it does, with our self-esteem or confidence?
I talk about four core tools that we can use to deal with the noise of the, what I call the conditioned identity. So this is the general idea of my book, Why Is Confidence, on how do we develop confidence in a way that is sustainable, in a way that is permanent, and in a way that doesn't lead to overconfidence or arrogance. And the whole idea is that we have our conditioned identity, which is how our past conditioned us to be. And we haven't consciously chosen that. You know, if you were born in a family and there was some, they were speaking condescending towards you, or whenever you tried something and you failed, that was like an emotional burst, or maybe there was bullying, whatever it was, like you were you experienced certain things growing up, and that shaped the way you feel about yourself. So we all have that. That is our conditioned identity. And for most people, our conditioning is not really helpful, is not really helping us be our best selves and live our aspirations. And so the opportunity is that we say, you know what? This identity of mine, this conditioning is not true. It's not my truth. It's a story. I was born into this world without any concept of who I am, what is the world, and how to navigate this thing called life. But fast forward a few years, everyone has really fixed ideas about all of these. And for most people, if they're not doing deep personal development work, they're going to live inside that box for the rest of their lives. But the opportunity here is that you realize that that is a box and that that box contains different things for different people. Maybe it's the fear of rejection for some, or self-doubt, or imposter syndrome, or perfectionism. And there's another way of being. You can choose to jump out of that box and to create a new identity for yourself. And I call that your aspirational identity. So you create your aspirational identity to have all the qualities that you wish to have, and that's not possible inside your current box. So instead of trying to make your box better, which leads to, like, it's a lot of effort and a very linear progress, you can have exponential progress if you just start operating from a different point of view, from a different framework or paradigm. And so that is the key transformation. Once we go through this, if this is the process that we're going through, then all the other tools, like applying power poses, or learning how to talk back at self-talk in your mind, like everything else, all of those things that we have learned about self-confidence, they work if they are connected to this deeper journey, because then they are helping you confirm the new person that you are. But if you're not doing that deeper identity shift work, and you're just using positive affirmations, body language, etc., to try to feel more confident, you know what? That works, but it's superficial. You are creating a new mood through those efforts. And when that mood subsides, you're back at your baseline, which might be self-doubt.
And so I guess the book goes a lot more into that and identity in particular. Yeah.
The process of creating or designing your aspirational identity, the person you want to be, and how to embody that, how to absorb and live from that place.
Yeah, not just this temporary like state change, but like being able to make that more, change your baseline, I think was the word you used there, being able to, so it's not like that self-doubt baseline, but it's more empowering one, right?
Yes.
So Giovanni, just before we sort of wrap up today, I just wanted to ask you, well, a couple of questions, but first of all, if you were to give your number one self-confidence tip to the listener, maybe something we shared in today's episode, might be something else, maybe a recap, what would that be?
Learn how to design your new identity, how to be the creator of yourself, so that you don't need to operate from your conditioning. Your conditioned self has issues or challenges with self-doubt, imposter syndrome, fear of failure, etc. All of that is part of your conditioning. Your new self doesn't need to have any of these. And this is the core shift that we need to address if we want self-confidence to become permanent and effortless.
Oh, love it. It's amazing. I'm a big fan of that, shifting the identity. So Giovanni, given such value, I've written down plenty of notes today, so thank you. Where can the listener find more from you if they want to find out more about your work? And also your book. Tell us a little bit more about where they can find that.
Okay. So my latest book is called Wise Confidence. It was launched a couple of weeks ago. And you can find that on Amazon or any other place where you can find books. And to learn more about my work, you can go to higher-mind.com. There you will learn about my books. There's a blog, there's a newsletter, and also an app with guided meditations, etc.
Oh, amazing. If you stop for meditations, go and check out that for sure. You know, sounds like a lot of value and lots to learn from your meditation insights. and also the book, very, very exciting for that to come out. So yeah, I'll be sure to link that up in the show notes of this episode below. So just click that if you when you want to grab the book. So Giovanni, a massive thank you once again for coming on today, and it's been brilliant. Thank you.
Absolutely. Thank you, Johnny.
Thank you. So that concludes our episode for today. And remember, you are in control of your own self-esteem and confidence.